This is exactly right.
Adulting is hard, but it doesn't have to be impossible. If you want to hear more about ways you can actually live your best life, check out How to Be a Better Human.
Each week, comedian Chris Duffy sits down with an expert to talk about the realistic and often unexpected ways you can improve your life.
This season on How to Be a Better Human, learn how thinking about death can actually make your life happier, why it's never too late to make a change, and more.
Find How to Be a Better Human wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Adulting. My name is Jordan Carlos. I am joined, as always, by my co-from-go, Michelle Buta. What's up, Michelle?
You know what's going on. Nothing. Ain't shit going on.
Nothing's going on. I just saw you have what appeared to be some lovely sush, though. Like, you do yourself right at lunch. I feel like you lunch is an important part of self-care to you. Not so much to me. I'm a grazer.
I think food in general. You know what's really sad is that I have a friend who I met in college who I love. She didn't like food. She didn't like pasta. She didn't like brown stew chicken. Like, she didn't like any. She didn't want to try anything. She just didn't want to try. And then we started to travel as we got our income tax checks. And we would use them to go somewhere for a week or two to Argentina or France or, you know, and as we were traveling, like, you don't have any choice but to eat what is there.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is delicious, you know? I mean, of course you know where to get, like, you know, that government mac and cheese that looks like it's definitely chemically, like, flavored, but, like, just delicious food. I think that is such a, it's like, if you love yourself, then, you know, you should put good things in your mouth. Hey-yo, that's how you stay married. But she didn't even like tomatoes till she went to Italy, and then she tasted what a tomato was like. And now she will, you know, shop from little farms upstate New York and stuff like that. So all this to say, yes, I like good food. And sometimes I don't even want good food. I just want something a little natty. Once in a while, you just want something a little natty. But then you have it. You're like, I didn't need this Captain Crunch. My mom was right. You know, my mouth is cut up, and I feel type 2.
You feel a type of way, type 2? Is that how you feel?
Yes.
I don't know. The cut-up is good, though, in the mouth. That delivers the sugar all the better. I will say this. Have you been with that lame friend traveling where they're... I've been traveling with a lame friend. I was in Brazil. And they were like, let's go to this Chili's in Brazil.
No, I was like, why do people do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I couldn't be married to someone like that. Like, I'm married to the low budget. Like, I want to be like Anthony Bourdain, and I want to go to, like, he wants a story with the town and the grandma's recipe that was handed down from the like, you know, he wants to be like, is this cardamom? Like, he loves that stuff. Oh, you know what? I feel like you love that shit too. You guys have. We've gone on vacation together.
Absolutely. I bond with your husband over, like, exploring new foods, new things. But it's also all a part of the 80-20 thing. Like, is the 20% of, like, not wanting to try new foods, if the 80% of the person is, like, great, but they don't want to try new foods, what do you think? Is it a deal breaker?
What? First of all, as a dyslexic person, I am hella confused. What was that question?
80-20. Like, people are like, if you match with somebody, you match with somebody, 4 out of 5 things you match with them on, but 1 out of 5 you don't, is it worth chucking them for?
No.
Okay.
It's never going to be perfect. And plus, shit changes.
Yeah.
You know? Every 2 to 5 years, you should be changing
Mm-mm.
your furniture, perhaps where you live. You're in a new place in your life.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. And then you meet new people from that place in your life. But you know that song that we used to sing in the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts, make new friends but keep the old?
Oh, yes. Yes.
One is silver and the other is gold. That's right.
Yeah. Do it. Okay, speaking of changes, your husband now owns a boat.
Ooh, okay, segue. Come
on. Speaking of changes, he owns a boat, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he just got a boat. I'm married to a white European man. Of course he has a boat and skis and wants to fly a kite when the wind is right because he's got an app for the wind. You know? He wants to He wants to harvest oysters and look at whales. Okay. And he got a book of ants and to learn the ants on the island and the fish. It's like, all right, I'll be over here filling out this W-9. Like, I don't know. You know, it's a different way to live.
Okay.
But it's nice. But it's nice. But it's also living, right?
That's beautiful.
Like, living for me, if you would have talked to me, like, at 34, what is living? Living is having, like, a nice pair of shoes in a parking spot. Like, that was me at 35. Wow. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's so different now. It's just so different. And that's what I'm saying. It should change.
It does change.
A little bit. Yeah.
I mean, have you steered the boat?
No, bitch. I can't even see... my feet past my tits. Do you think I want to steer a boat? No, I don't go on a boat to drive the boat, Jordan. I go on the boat to have champagne and a lobster roll and a pedicure.
Oh, shit.
And for pictures. Okay? I don't like it too choppy. I don't want sea legs later. You know, in and out. I might even do a little dip, get my hair wet, as long as I don't see anything moving in the water. No, no, no. Because you know what I am?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm the fifth person in line at the airport. I'm the person where people are just like, that never happens. It's so weird that happened to you. No, bitch. It's not weird. It's happening my whole fucking life. That's why I choose to be safe. All right? I'm very exciting in other ways. You should see me when I don't have an egg or some sort of important ingredient for something I'm making. I'm like, I'll just whip it up with some applesauce and chia seeds. Bitch, I'm exciting in other ways. Okay?
You are exciting in other ways. I was just wondering about that. That's all. Listen, he's been talking about that. I'm proud of him for having a boat. That is the most grown thing you can do, is to own a vehicle where you can just leave the fucking continent with. You know, that's nuts.
Well, I mean... it also is interesting when you take on a hobby that really infuses your personality. Like, you have to be a boat person. Mm. You have to be good at directions. You have to take an interest in being by yourself. Yeah. You know, it does become part of your personality and then perhaps for the rest of your life. But also, if you don't like it, that's okay. You could always sell the boat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think more people should try new things if you could afford it. Because sometimes hobbies are fucking expensive.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my God. You know, a boat? Come on now. You got to clean it. You got to put that fuel in it. You got to dock
it. No, ma'am.
You know, all that.
No, ma'am.
All that.
You got to flip it up. Rub it down.
Barnacles? All that. All that.
Yuck. Yuck.
I got to get on that boat. I'm excited to get on that boat.
Are you a boat person?
I'm not a boat person, but I can enjoy a good time in a boat, for sure.
Do you want to drive a boat?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I'd love to drive a boat. I want to do it really well and have people be like, God, that guy can drive that boat. You know what I mean?
Do you feel pressure because you are a black man to drive a boat and be like the best at it?
No, I would only specifically want the boat to be either at Sag Harbor, Oaks Bluff, Martha's Vineyard, or the Caribbean. That's it. It's got to be the blackest.
The Caribbean.
The blackest part of the Caribbean, like Trinidad Tobago. It would have to be like, I'd pull.
That's the blackest part of the Caribbean?
Where's the blackest part?
All right, Christopher
Haiti?
Columbus.
Where, right?
Actually, Haiti is the most African, yes.
Okay, then let's do it there. Let me chug out of Port-au-Prince and do it there.
Port-au-Prince is actually just more to the east. You have to go to the west, sort of like where my dad is from, Kai. My dad is actually from a beach town called Lakai. And I just love that the Fugees is just like the 101 for anything ICN, because there's a shout out in one of the songs. It's just like, I do what I do with my crew from Lakai.
And I'm like, yeah. That's what that is?
Yes, that's where my dad is from. Yes. And anybody that knows Haiti, mainly a Haitians or that one white person that just loves to build toilets and tell me about it. Every time they're like, what's your last name? And I'm like, Buteau. They're like, I can see it's the round face and the light skin. It's just like, yes, now you fucking know everything.
Mm.
So all of them, we got the roundest faces. I mean, mine is more heart, let's be honest.
Beautiful cheekbones. They come into place.
But what about your family reunion? If I go to Texas, am I just going to see... like different versions of
me? No.
Because
my mother's the one that has the family reunions. My father's side does not. My dad's family is scattered to the four winds. If you go to my mother's family reunion, it's a bunch of long limb Mississippi folk with high cheekbones. And you can see the Cherokee in us and the Choctaw in us.
I love, your mom looks like an ex-model.
Oh, thank you. Una modella. Yeah, like she looks like that. My aunt looks like that. Everybody out here looking good.
I love it.
They're looking right. Yeah, the ladies live a long, long time in my family.
I love that. Your sister's not tall, though.
She's not, but she's got a huge personality. So you think that she's taller than she appears.
That's right. She presents tall.
Yes.
She presents
she's
tall.
She's also not afraid of a chunky heel to take her up another 5 to 6 inches. That's her energy.
That's drag queen energy, honey.
Yes. Yes. She's always stunting on them hoes. Like, she lets you know what's going on. But, yeah, my sister is tall for a lady. But I like people that...
What a controversial...
I know. I like people that stand on their personality. Like, my wife... Definitely, like, mm-hmm. stands on her personality. You think that she's, like, maybe 5'6", but she's... That little firecracker might be... That sparkler might be 5'2 to 5'3 tops. Tops. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what's really fun? Watching her water ski. Because I'm like, you gotta be that short...
Yes.
...to water ski and got them that core.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean? That core.
Yeah.
And not too far away from the water because, like I said, I can't even see my titties. How am I supposed to water ski? You know, my whole body might be buoyant, but I'm going to slap the shit out of that water with my face.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not ready. And we already know I can't lose a tooth because freckles, big titties, big hair, missing tooth, too much character.
Too much personality.
Too much character. That should be the name of my next special. Too much character. Speaking of character, oh my God, are we mall cops? Because we got nothing but segues. Whoop. Very excited to get to our guest for this episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I've seen him in fucking forever, but
really?
You just saw him quite recently and for a very long time.
Absolutely.
Tell us about it, Jordan.
Almost every damn day, he's my coworker. You know what I mean? I'm excited to bring him on. Such a funny guy.
Tell us what the work is from that you co-together.
Our guest coming up is my coworker, co-star on our series Everything's Trash on Hulu. Moses brought so much to this show. It was almost like having an on-set writer. The amount of improv and twists and little takes that he had within the scene were so fantastic to watch. And he's like almost like, if the basketball is jokes, he's like Steph Curry with it and could just like dish and swish. And I love watching him work. I love working with him.
Oh my God. You sound like a best man at a wedding. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Also, he's got the coolest name. You said his first name, but we didn't catch the last name. What's his name?
His name. Because the storm is coming. Moses Storm.
Yahweh.
Moises. Moses in the building.
Moses. The last time I saw you, I feel like was years ago at Eric Andre's birthday party. Am I crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is that a fever dream?
Yeah. It's not the usual industry party, an Eric Andre party. There's so much happening that he really goes all out. It's like the closest thing that we have to...
Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner party, but it's just yeah. like he hires... performers that you would never hire?
Like naked people? Yeah, like just people to walk around naked. There was a lady with sushi on her yeah. body.
Jello wrestling?
Yes, I slipped and almost like broke my ankle. It was, ooh. I want to say it was chocolate pudding.
That's what it was. And that's just on the line to get in, like the check-in line outside. It was just Jello and pudding wrestling.
I think birthdays are meant to be celebrated, but wow.
Yeah.
Like to have your birthday be like Coachella every year is just crazy.
It's a lot of pressure. I personally like it because no one's asking you like, hey, what are you working on there? Because there's so many things to talk about that you yeah. never really have to open up or say anything about what you're doing or how you feel. It's just like, that's crazy. Look at that.
I love that though.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I don't like going to parties. Especially with coworkers or whatever we're calling each other. Because when people are like, what are you working on? I'm like, myself. Bye. The patriarchy. Bye. Later, bitch. Taxes. Always.
Right.
What's like one question that gets your goat?
Oh, it is like, so what are you working on right now? Because for me, that means there's like 8 things I should be doing, should be further along on, should have accomplished. So now I have to, one, think about that. And now I have to phrase it in a way that sounds like I'm accomplishing that for not only you, but for myself. And like a way that I'm okay with not getting everything done.
Oh, it's the worst. also, like, if you're doing stuff, like, you have to somehow sound like you aren't bragging about it if you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we can't be proud of our accomplishments. You know, we have to be like, well, I think it's so annoying. Like, I just hosted a meatball party and I love a fake competition for real friends.
Ooh.
Because we're not allowed to be competitive anymore. We're not allowed to be like, yeah, I fucking want this. Yeah, I was like really fucking good. Like, I don't really see anyone doing that in public except for like Joe Rogan. Sorry.
And you have like 85 jobs at once. So it's, yeah, it's like, oh yeah. Well, which one are you talking about? What show are you talking about? You talking about the Netflix? Are you talking about my own Netflix special? You talking about the new show? Yeah.
But you're no stranger from doing the most too, Moses. Like, when we were shooting this show, man, Moses would be like, dude, I got to get down to the cellar. We'd be in the middle of a scene. He's like, I got to be at the cellar in 5 minutes. I was like, oh, Lord, let's all get our lines right then.
Oh, my goodness.
Not the comic cellar. I'm building a doomsday shelter.
Yeah, doomsday shelter. Yeah, you had to. Absolutely. You had to shore up the walls and stock the shelves.
Get them coupons.
Yeah. Well, we were wrapping up the other Paramount Plus show, doing ADR for that, trying to move across the country to live here, and then still trying to do stand up and put together the next show.
Did you say we?
We as like the collective, like we as the crew, you know, I'm being gracious.
Okay. I was like, is there a dog? Is there a cat? What do you mean
no,
we?
There's no cat. Just a lonely man in a sky tower with all the windows.
Okay, so you had to leave your apartment, as I recall. You were like, dude, I got to leave this place in 4 hours that I've been living in. You were on the Upper West. Where are you now?
Oh, no, never Upper West. Get out of here. I can't do that.
Oh, the West Village. You were in the West Village. My bad.
Yeah, it's even bougier. It's Airbnb does not work in New York City on purpose. It's the most difficult real estate, 16 miles that you could imagine. And there's all these different laws. So it is almost impossible to move here last.
Yeah, I think it's to protect renters because then it's just so hard to find a place that you can afford. And so if you're just renting a place for months on end, it's like, well, where do people go? The Bronx.
Absolutely. And then the show that we're filming out here, we happen to be filming at the busiest time of the year, which is when everyone moves out here.
Right.
Yeah. What time is that?
It's spring. But it's like white girls from Santa Barbara and La Jolla with their dad's credit card. So they can just put in a bin in an apartment immediately.
Get that white claw ready.
Truly.
Brittany and Taylor are fucking coming. Yeah. Are you seeing Rosé all day, bitch? Getting back to the questions that I do not like at a party.
Yes.
It's two. It's like, oh, can we meet so I can pick your brain about something?
Oh, yes.
No, bitch. Figure it out like I fucking had to do.
Oh,
get
my
dumb,
God.
Basic bitch. Like, I can't, like, or like, I want to do stand-up, but I want to make money. I'm like, then why are you here?
Oh, my God.
Just be funny. But, like, I don't mind sharing information or experiences, but, like, when someone specifically is just like, tell me how to do something, I'm like,
no.
Figure it out yourself.
I know what you're asking for. Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so glad you brought that up. I guess that's my least favorite one. Because you are asking something out of me. If I'm busy, it's like, well, now I have to go do this thing. And I know what you're asking for, and you're essentially asking for a shortcut. You're asking not do the work, especially if it's stand-up. How do I get where you are? How do I get contacts in the city? You go eat shit at open mics. You go do the thing that anyone could find on some terrible blog. That's how old it is. Some blog. And you go and you eat shit and then you meet people and then the friends that you perform stand-up with and eat shit with, they will start their own show. They will get you on that show. You will get bigger acts.
That's right. It's a tale as old as time. Come on, Disney. You know what's up. I mean, I feel like the only time I don't mind hearing secrets or like, this is how I do it is probably like, not even marital advice. And it's just more like a we're in this together type of shit. You know what I mean? Because when people are just like, what's the secret? I'm like, there is no secret. And if there were, it's a fucking secret.
When you first started stand up, because I also want to talk to you about this marriage question. But when you first started, did you ask anyone that was already like working or successful? Did you ever ask for advice or can I pick your brain?
Fucking never, not once. I just figured it out myself. In fact, I did have two friends, Rebecca Donahue and Irene Bremis, when I was doing Bringer shows way too long, like second year and still doing Bringer shows. Like, what am I doing? They sweetied me in a corner. They were just like, sweetie, in a corner. Just like, it was like my little intervention. They're like, stop doing Bringer shows. You're too good for this. So I have had friends like stage like an emotional intervention for a bitch because I'm just like, this is the thing you do. And I always have to wear a black shirt and jeans because I had a good set that one time I wore it, so I'm gonna keep doing it so people take me seriously. And then it's all about finding your voice, whatever the fuck it is that you want to do. It doesn't just have to be stand-up, but I've had friends give me unsolicited advice where I'm just like, I'll take it. But no, I figure it out on my fucking own. I couldn't imagine asking somebody what's the secret ingredient in the special sauce. Make your own fucking sauce.
Exactly. That's the secret ingredient.
I feel like you two are on the fence about like a good brain pick with people.
Specifically, not helping. It's the pick your brain. Can I take time out of your day, sit with you and ask you questions that I could find on Google or the thousands of comedy podcasts? But if you ask to open for me, I have a 95% return rate that you will open for me at one point.
Yeah.
That is, yes, you want stage time. I totally get that. You want to see how someone works for a little bit. Absolutely, you're allowed to do that. And that 95% return rate on that. But not something about talking about working.
Right.
Also at parties, I think we run out of road conversationally, like knowing what to say to people, because the most energy is spent, at least in my book, I spend most of my energy trying to get there. Like the logistics of getting there, like
to the party.
God. Yes, to the party. What to bring?
Oh my God, you're like every Tina Fey and Steve Carell movie. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Aren't y'all like that? I mean, like, listen. Like, by the time I get there, I'm like, that's why people talk about. They talk about traffic. They're just like, oh yeah, I had to take the fucking this to the that to the this.
I'm in my mid 40s. Like, I don't even go to parties anymore. I just have them. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I want to use my own toilet when I've been having too much rosé and take a little nap on that toilet. And know that I wake up in a safe place.
Yes, it's great. You don't have to go anywhere. It's your, all your stuff's there.
Yes.
But at the end of the night, what's the graceful way to say, like, I'm tired, let's call it, everyone.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you've met me. I'm just like, you gotta go.
Yeah.
We did it. You gotta go. Or I'm going upstairs. Feel free to stay. I'm gonna go. But for the most part, people go. And then what I realized too, from hosting and being an adult, is booking cleaning the next day.
Mm.
You got to book someone to come and clean. So you don't want to be hung over with fucking dirty feet, you know, trying to put the pieces together of why the chicken wings are in the fucking bathroom garbage and shit. You know what I mean? You just hire someone and it's a beautiful. Yeah. You just sit on the couch or whatever the fuck you got to do.
So you need stairs and you need a cleaning person.
Yeah.
So I guess money.
Yes.
How do you gracefully get people out of your party at the end of the night as an adult? And the answer is money.
I mean, I think I like to maximize the fucking time, right? So there's like a good 4-hour window with the party. And you have a good time. The music's pumping. The food is hot. The drinks are cold. We're all checking in. We're all doing our fucking jokes and telling the stories. Blah, 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 blah. And then don't have a lot of food.
Run out of food.
Run out of food. The food's done. You gotta go.
Like, that's amazing.
That's another thing too. You run out of plates. Never have all the plates. Like, you just run out of shit. Oh no, the party's over.
I think a cake is a nice exclamation point till the end. It's a nice punctuation, right? A cake is a good punctuation. Like,
oh, dessert.
Yeah, dessert. Like, they've got the cake. I guess it's time to go. Like, cake just ends everything.
That's a good punctuation.
Oh my God, fuck yes. I just got a sheet cake.
You don't need money for that.
I mean, there's a lot of ways you can have fun and have no money. When I was broke, like a motherfucking...
Joke.
I would take a blanket to the park, Central Park, and I would just ask friends to each bring a side dish, and we would just have a bunch of sides. No one could afford the protein. Rotisserie chickens are the only thing that have come down. Okay. Everything else has gone up. Rotisserie chickens are so.
You think we're going to sleep in the park and take a blanket?
When I was like, where is this going?
Like it's a hack. Like, no, that's not a hack. Yeah.
I would take a stick and put it on one side.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to see homeless dudes like fucking do capoeira with like white pants on. It's great.
Oh my God.
That's entertaining. Yeah.
I'm actually working with capoeira right now for a show. It's very random brought that up, but I watched a shit ton of capoeira videos.
What?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Wait, are you doing this to defend yourself?
The cult I grew up in, one of their recruiting tactics, because we would not get a lot of people with just yelling with neon signs. So what they're doing now is they're doing capoeira demonstrations in South America. And then people will crowd around and watch and they're like, wow, sick moves. Well, you know, he's got the sickest moves is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's got two good ones.
So many follow-ups. First of all, I am that bitch that would go to capoeira and throw like just whatever kind of coin. Wait, did you say cult?
Yeah.
Like, are you Mormon or this is a weird guessing.
No, it was a mix. Judaism and Catholicism, and it's something that they helped start with my great uncle, my parents. Third family, Texas, and then our family in a lot of Florida. But we were in buses growing up, just like a Greyhound bus that we ripped the seats out of and we would travel around and try to get this religion started by street preaching and passing out pamphlets and yelling at people in Walmart.
What was the mission?
Oh, essentially, it's against any... So if you looked at... You broke down the actual tenets of the religion, the ideology, but that's kind of like Christianity mixed Judaism. But the major thing is that there should be no pastor, rabbi, any middleman between you or God. There should be no government. There should be no school. That's why I've never been to school in my life. And hospitals were frowned against. Anything that is
institutional,
you know, new world.
Yeah,
was a way for Satan to corrupt you. So
wow.
And then money is bad too. Shouldn't have. It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man.
The kingdom of heaven. So here's a question: How could you organize as a religion if every institution was evil? I mean, it seems a little counterintuitive.
And how do you have no name of the religion? And how are the three families not communicating on the ideology if they're all in their own bus spreading their own message of kind of the same thing and then writing each other? The answer is we had no followers.
So when did you have the voice like inside to say, this is not good. This is not good for me. But like, because there's your family and you're like, oh, I should.
Yeah.
Because I love them. They love me. But when did you know?
Well, never felt good growing up. I was told like that's this life should be hard. Yeah. And you're given life up for God. And then just adults would yell at my parents of like, how could you do this to your kids? Why are they not in school? Why are they yelling at us under these neon signs that say you're headed for hell? So there was always like, oh, this is not right. We weren't allowed to be around any kids our age or have any friends. But for me personally, I was 16 and I was in love with this girl. And the way that I felt about her did not match up with the ideology of this religion or what this religion taught. And it was something as simple as like, well, the way I feel in my dumb chemicals is saying that this is wrong, but I just on a feeling level, on a gut level, this is pure, this is right. So that religion has to be wrong. And it was as simple as that.
This is so wild because I feel like I meet so many people and this is such a unique experience, but it happens more than we think.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know how to say it, but like, go back and try to save kids?
Save like your siblings? Are your siblings still caught up with the cult itself?
I'm just like proud of them that they're still alive because obviously people went through some real rough times leaving. I think the hardest thing is not us as kids. If they grow up like the cult, it's just like, this is some embarrassing thing that your parents do. The hard part is now being an adult. Mm-hmm. And trying to learn how to interface with the world, not having these same shared experiences with people. Like, remember that kid in middle school? No, I don't.
Yeah.
I remember bringing, you know, so, or the hardest thing is intimate relationships. I feel like I can bullshit my way through a party or a casual friendship or a work thing. But when you really get close to someone and you have to open up and they're like, hey, why do you retreat when you start feeling things? Why do you not let me in on certain things? That's when it's like, oh, this thing really fucked us up.
Mm-hmm.
This is very toxic and it hurts. And why do I keep avoiding hospitals?
Well, they are terrible.
I saw this quote one time because I had gone through so much shit for like 5 or 6 years. It was just fucking awful and traumatic. And then when I sort of got to the place where I needed to be, I didn't know how to be happy. And I was like, why can't I fucking be happy when my children are born? They're healthy. We have the home. We have, I love my, and then I saw this, and I hate to be this bitch to be like, I saw this quote, but I do follow like a lot of inspirational quotes on Instagram because it's just full of fucking, just people, I don't know, making quesadillas and doing the Meg Thee Stallion TikTok videos. But like, I saw this quote. It was, the tools that you need to survive will not be the ones you need to thrive. Like, learn how to live differently. And I was like, oof, that hits. That hits with me because I'm like, I know how to be that person to get through it and weather the storm. But like, how do I get to the other side and actually enjoy where the fuck I worked so hard to be?
Yeah.
So that's just like, and it's every day. It's like, it's a choice. It's it, for me, at least, it feels like a choice. Because like even road rage, I've learned how to enjoy it now as opposed to being like, it's personal. I got to show them. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, that's funny. And it's like, I just have to figure out.
I don't trust advice that rhymes.
Right. No hip hop at all. No Kendrick Lamar.
Never get high on your own supply. Yeah.
Viral all the time. That's like something very simple. It's like if it rhymes, then it's not worth a dime. And it's like, is that smart or is that just rhymes? Yeah. But I think what you said is actually, that's actually a very useful piece of information that happens to rhyme.
You also, Michelle also said Weathering the Storm, which I believe is the name of your
is
new
it?
Biography.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute.
Weathering the Storm. Yeah. A podcast from Exactly Right Media.
Michelle, add something now outside of, I guess, Instagram quotes or just positive quotes could be a thing. But is there a... or what's the closest thing that you have to faith or a religion or some sort of belief in something? Because I'm at the point now, it's pretty embarrassing where I don't have anything and I'm not okay with that.
Right.
I'm looking for something that's TM or something that's like, well, I got some bad bullshit.
Yeah.
Some sort of faith, something to make the questions that are unanswerable palatable.
Yeah. I hear you. My uncle's the Archbishop of Jamaica. And so growing up in the church was a thing. And I tried to pick the good parts and the bad parts and, you know, do this, but not that. And I really came face to face with all of it when I was forced into baptizing my twins. And I'm like, I could do this, but still make it me and the godmothers are both gay.
Yeah.
And we were so far down the process. It was like the day before the baptism and people had flown in from Holland, from Jamaica, from California, from Washington State. And my mom decided to tell me that day, don't introduce Carrie as Becky's wife. And I'm like, what? That's who she is. Yeah, but don't bring it up. And I'm like, I'm only going to bring it up now. And so sure enough, I was told a couple hours later that I had to pick somebody else because the church doesn't recognize this, that, and it was a mess. And this is why I love having Jordan in my life. He did tell me when you become a parent, you have to parent yourself. And I'm like, how the fuck am I gonna say they're not worthy because of who they are? And that makes them beautiful to my children who might be gay. because you want this thing on paper for these people and for this institution that I don't even fully agree with. But there's so much that I do love. And I really had to think about what I loved, and it was community. And I have my own community. And so we ended up just doing a blessing in our backyard with a friend who was an ordained minister, and we called it a blessing. And it was beautiful, but I still carry around guilt about it. And my mom didn't talk to me for 3 months. And as the only child, that's really fucking hard. But I do feel like we grew together. Growing pains fucking suck, but there is still a part of me where I'm just like, but what am I teaching my kids? Like, what is it going to be? Am I going to put them in Catholic school and let them know all the terrible shit and all the fun stuff and then, like, tell them what? Like, so I'm with you, friend. I would love to find a place that made me feel loved, seen, whole.
Yeah.
I mean, to that, I mean, like, that's a huge quandary, you know, Moses. And it's not easy, especially given what you were, especially given your upbringing. So, I mean, with that in mind, you know, it's like when you then yourself, let's say you got to raise a family and you want to give them some kind of structure and things like that, you have to revisit the fact that you will be confronted with the trauma that you went through being raised in such a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's really hard, which is unfair to you. But I would say, I would suggest something that I do, you know, which is like, I have to admit, when it comes to religion, I usually turn down the volume on old JC, but...
Even the stank you got to put on JC.
Right.
You can't even say Jesus Christ. You got to make it a cartoon.
I know.
That's where we're at to get through it. Do you understand?
It's like I'm a comedian or something. I mean, I'm having as much fun as I can in 2022.
Said no one ever.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I feel like what you can do is, and I've been guilty of this over the years, is like you feel as though whatever successes you have are a mistake or sheer luck or someone was asleep on their job. So what I do now is like, you know, my therapist told me to look back over what I've done, over my resume. And then like that makes me, I actually start to believe in myself.
Jordan, you say it and you mean it, Jordan.
I do mean it. Yeah, I okay. say it. I believe I'm more and more. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm like 100% believe in myself, but more than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I
see it. I see the difference in you, friend. And
right.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Moses, you are so skilled.
For your religion, can we both believe in you as well?
Sure. Absolutely. A small little G God complex.
I believe in a dress with a fucking button. Jesus Christ. The titties are out like a fleshy fucking tsunami. Listen, we got questions from the audience and they ask us about adulting and we'd love to ask you some questions. You down with that?
Yeah.
Fucking wonderful.
Down with that.
Oh, this is cute. TV in the bedroom, yes or no?
Ooh, no.
Ooh, pourquoi?
But no hard and fast rule. I think no hard and fast rule because we were so anti-TV growing up. And I was like, ugh, miserable. You should like, just even if TV's the devil, whatever, your kids are going to need to know certain references, like Seinfeld. But I think now you could do laptop in the bed, basically a TV.
Yeah.
But that... especially if you're like dating someone, I think the TV is, I don't know, the bed should be its own sacred place where you do sex times, you bond together, maybe you talk.
Chicken
but the
bow,
TV and the bed, bow. Just like, let's not, let's disconnect okay. right away. Living room, fine.
I'm not mad at that.
And a kitchen TV, definitely have a kitchen TV.
That is so old school. Not everybody has a kitchen TV. You used to. You used to like watch a cooking show while you were cooking. It's like, who the fuck got the time?
I feel like a kitchen TV, though, is where you hear about disasters, you know? It's always
in
yeah, movies.
You show the woman at home and there's no good parts for women, so it's always just cutting carrots. Yeah. And you hear about husband doing a high-paid job.
Yeah.
He's got to go to astronaut.
Yeah.
It's
gotta go
true. Astronaut,
yeah. Even though he fills for oil.
It's true.
We hear about her in the kitchen.
It was another typical
Did
morning.
Did he make it? Oh my goodness, Moses, what was the first movie you saw in a theater?
I think we saw the Lost in Space movie.
Oh, no.
at the daytime screening.
With Matt LeBlanc.
Okay.
Or like, this is like an evil thing of the world, but we're just going to watch it, but know that the message of this is evil. And it was, I had not seen a lot of movies, but we knew enough that that was a horrible movie.
Right. You're like, that's amazing. You're right. It is evil.
We were talking the whole time. We were the only people in there, but, and it should be this thing of like, oh shit, we're in a theater for the first time. But it was such a horrible movie that, yeah, we talked the whole way through.
Do you remember that though? Do you remember, like, so you remember your first bad movie, Moses. Do you remember that, Michelle? Do you remember watching your first bad movie and being like, what is this experience?
My first movie was E.T., but yeah, I don't know. Sorry, go on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, but I'm just, it's such a weird feeling because when you're a child and you're taken to the movies, it's always like, I mean, it's fire, right? So you're taken to like Star Wars, E.T., whatever little cartoon you wanted to watch, you enjoyed it completely. But your first dud, you know?
Heist just brought me coffee. Say hi.
Heist, what's up, bud? Good to see you, buddy. Yeah, find someone like that. Find that man.
What a cutie patootie. What a cutie patootie.
Jordan, what was your dud, though? What was your dud movie? What was the first dud?
It was Bullet... I think it was Money Train. So I actually was lucky for a long time.
Oh.
Money Train with Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson. I was like, the guys from two... You know, yeah. Like the White Men Can't Jump and Wildcats? What could possibly go wrong? It did.
What is that movie with Patrick Swayze? Was it Roadhouse?
Oh, yeah. You didn't like that?
That was after Dirty Dancing, right? When he started, yeah. Like, getting offers. Yeah, I wanted more. Rest in power.
He ripped a man's throat out and... and got with Kelly Lynch in a barn. What's up? All right, so here's the question.
Well, I was like 13. Anyways.
I had so many feelings going on in that movie. Okay, here's the question. And I think this actually might be really good for Moses because this is I don't know, the tenor and the tone of this question is wild. I'm a 24-year-old female about to move in with my 24-year-old husband and I'm freaking out. How do you live with a man? How do you poop? How do you plug your ingrown hairs? Pluck, I think. I'm scared.
Pluck, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, what a... Like, I have been with my husband for 13 years and just started farting in front of him because of the pandemic. What a wild question.
Yeah, holy shit. Yeah, this is... I would say tread lightly because you really shouldn't move in but with someone until you're like, fuck it, I fart in the room, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you should... there before you, because you're going to be very uncomfortable and feel like you are not at home ever if you are not close enough to someone where it's like, this person has seen me shit while they look into my eyes. We...
Ooh, no thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be your grossest self before you move in with someone. But there's no way to really
absolutely
learn that at 24, so you kind of have to do it. So I wouldn't say don't do it, but know that
I don't think this person has lived with another human being that is not their family, period.
Yeah.
I'm getting from this question a kind of like an orthodoxy. And that's what I meant for you, Moses. Like, did you ever, like, in your group, were there ever people that got married like way too soon? Like your sibs that
no.
Were like...
No, so like everyone that wasn't in this thing and it's like, you know, a total of 16 people was going to hell or there to corrupt you. So there was never a thought that you could ever be with someone or I'd get out of that. There was no marriage. It was like, how do I get past this on?
Right.
And how the fuck did you guys meet parents? Like, that you were the last two that were saved forever. No one got married. You got hitched pretty fast out of it.
Yeah.
But they started having kids and being like really great parents. It's almost a spite move.
oof. That hit hard. Next question. This is a spicy one.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on open marriages and or couples who swing?
Uh-oh. There's a storm coming.
Uh-oh. It sounds like you want me to tell you to do it.
One, I've never seen hot people swing. At least who believe the documentaries. It's always guys with bodies you describe as brave.
Right.
Always have like something that was cool when they were cool. They have like a soul patch or a rat tail, a lip ring. Right. It's like, oh yeah, of course, that's the guy that swings.
And no, thank you.
It's never looked appealing just because the people, at least the people that agree to documentaries about swinging are not the people you would hope.
That's true. Patty Kaplan, come through for your girl G-String Divas on HBO. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Pips on Post Down. You know what, too? People, I don't go to the gym anymore, obviously. Yeah. Not because of the cardio, because of the COVID, but like the locker room. It's always the people you never want to see naked that have to be naked, blow drying their hair with their fucking legs open, you dumb cunt.
That's it. What happens in the women's locker room too? I guess it goes both ways. But I think, have you ever been in a relationship and thought, wish this was more complicated? Wish there was another person answer. Okay, you have the 33 minutes of sex, right? Now you have another 23 and a half hours to fill with these two people or four people. So,
well, I mean, it's something that's becoming more commonplace. There's couples and thruples more and more, and people like to, the binary is bad, right? So it's like, I think that there is a certain amount of focus being put on fluidity and how we then look at our own relationships. I will say that it's definitely very like, it's cultural. Cause when I was in Minneapolis, wowza. People were definitely in multiple.
I thought you were gonna say like Hawaii, Brazil, yeah. Minneapolis. Nope. I thought you were gonna be like the south of France.
You know,
Minneapolis.
You know, those are the cutting edge.
The Amalfi Coast.
The Midwest.
Fucking Minneapolis.
Who comes from Minneapolis?
I Prince.
Who's the most sexual person?
Prince.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. He wasn't just one person. It wasn't just him. It's like that had to have, he was birthed from that. So it's like when I went there, I was amazed
really?
By the number of people that, Minneapolis, don't sleep now. Don't sleep.
Look, wake
was
me up,
this person's
honey.
Question, should I get into a thruple or just what are your thoughts on it? Which means they're probably flirting with the idea of pitching that.
It is. I think it's more like a what are your thoughts on it? And to be honest, if this is something that you want to present to your relationship, then make a pro and con list. Definitely set boundaries and rules because being open is one thing, but then group sex within your marriage or relationship is another thing. Mm-hmm. And so this is a conversation. If you need to go to like a sex therapist just to have somebody weigh in, I love therapists because it feels like they're a good one. Feels like an interpreter sometimes. So like do that. But if you are looking to, I mean, it's so crazy because being married, I've never met so many people in open relationships, but I've never like known so many people like in long-term relationships either. And if it's just like, I love my person, but I have feelings for other people, or I love my person, but I have feelings for the opposite sex, or I love my person, but I can't see this like every day before I die, whatever it is, it's like being honest with your partner is one thing, but being honest with yourself is the most important thing. So really like look deep and look in and figure out what you want.
Yeah.
What you need.
I would also add, it's like remove a lot of stuff and make sure that this is what you want. Remove a lot of things and make sure this is what you want. There's something called the Coolidge effect. The Coolidge effect is like when you're surfing on whatever, on Instagram, you're on the internet, and it's our, like something new excites humans. So if we see something new, then we get very excited about it and aroused by it. Okay. So if you, for a moment, like just put your phone down for a couple of days, and if you still have that feeling, that's what you want, then okay. Also, it's a really hard, once the cake is baked, to kind of like be like, you know what? I need to like, let's improvise here and like rearrange what I already established, you know?
Yes. Indecent proposal. I mean, come on.
Yes. I think if you're looking, you should be open with yourself first. Like, do I want this for sex? I want to have sex with other people or a different gender identity, or do I want a, am I missing something in my relationship that's a feeling thing of like, I like as a person, I still love my husband or wife, and I am also in love with this person. Then that is a good fit in. But but in a relationship, maybe you could talk about just wanting sex with other people.
Yeah. And you know what? It'll be okay. It'll be hard, but it will always be okay. You dirty little bitch. Okay, this is the last and most important question. I know. How does Jordan do it? Whatever, he has fun. Okay, last question. What should I look for in a couch?
Oh.
Oh. Oh, my God.
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard.
The most comfortable, uncomfortable couch. Because usually the best looking couches, you know, are very uncomfortable.
Yes, we have a mid-century modern furniture store, so I 100% agree. It was like nobody had booty in the 60s. It's like, where the fuck am I supposed to put this?
Why do you think?
Sorry, Moses.
No, but
go
why
ahead.
Do you think there was so much change in the 60s? People weren't, they were on their feet. They were out in the streets marching, okay? No one was comfy. They're like, we got to change this. By the 70s, you had the waterbed, and people were like, fuck it. I'm done. I'm checking out. You know?
Bitch. I just got really good advice, not but 2 years ago. Sit in the couch first.
Right, but are you comfortable enough in the store? I never feel like, I still feel like I'm performing. I can't really be honest. Like, right. Good. I love it.
Right.
I'm not actually being like, right. What are you actually going to be doing in this? Which is just being a filth monster. You're going to be horizontal for hours on end. So whatever the best looking couch is that will allow you to do that.
Not a filth monster. Yeah. No follow-up questions there. Mine is not necessarily a sit test, but it's a get-up test.
Oh.
Is it too low? Mm. These knees are old now. I've been tap dancing for the patriarchy for a long time. These titties are heavy. So do I need a push up? Do you need to push me up?
Sofas are also very cultural too. You know, it's like if it's an L-shaped brown one, I know it's black folks. You know, if it's
I have an L-shaped dusty rose.
All right. Gotta have that L shape, you know? I love it. Yes. I love a good L.
If you do the two couch thing, like don't just face them towards each other. It's too much pressure. Like this is a conversation. The biggest one should be facing the TV and then get something that fits the side. Because all the time people are like, the TV's off to the corner and the two couches face each other for conversation.
So fuck dumb. That's like, you're just going to do cocaine. Right. I don't understand that. Also, did you know a love seat, which is, you know, obviously the two things, two seats, was originally intended for like bitches from Bridgerton.
Courting, right?
To sit down in their big dress. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Do it.
Okay.
Like advertised, or they fill that out and then a gentleman caller sits down next.
Yes, alone. Caller. Yes, they sit in it alone while the gentleman callers come and, you know, ask them for their hand and whatever the fuck they do.
They say, may I
hands.
Squire you about town, milady? Would you like to ride in my hansom? My acreage.
Oh, my. I love it when he gets jingle jangle on a bitch.
You know
Come
it.
On.
Yes.
Kwanzaa's real, bitches.
So real. Although, I've heard some people, like, they're like, get the TV out of the living room, okay? Like, it should just be about conversation. Just, that's what it's about, okay? So they rearrange the furniture accordingly.
No.
Imagine, yeah.
You should watch Michelle's many Netflix shows.
This is what I say you should look for in a couch. Sure. Definitely take measurements. Mm. Maybe hang a cool picture above your couch, or have like what is it called? A collage of pictures as well, right?
Ew.
So I also think go to Pinterest. Not enough people really utilize Pinterest in a way that's helpful. Just throw in some keywords of like brown, leather, whatever the fuck, and just get some inspiration. You could always find something that's a lot cheaper that looks just as good. Definitely do a sit test. And if you can't afford what you want, and if you're smart about it, open up a credit card, make sure that you pay it off monthly or just like do a one-time thing so you can build your credit by opening up that credit card, but you have to pay it off.
Oh my God.
Because I think it's like 0% down, no APR, whatever the fuck. So you can actually use that couch to build your credit, because this is where we live in America where we need credit to like...
Sitting on the couch, you're like, what are you doing? They're like, building credit.
Exactly. 100%. And it's like what you want to do. You want to have friends over, or you just want to have one other person over? Do you have a dog? You should get something leather.
Can I ask?
You could also go to Craigslist and find something leather and already in. Go on, Jordan. I'm done. God, what's in this coffee?
I just want to ask this, though. Do people get hung up on the labels of the couch, too, right? It's just like one day. Okay, by my office, there's Design Within Reach, ABC Home Carpet, and West Elm, right? And I'm like, one day I'm going to get it. I'm going to get them all. You know, like, do you ever, Design Within Reach is an outlet near me, and it's still not within my reach. Like, do you ever just, you're just like, I want this. Like, Design Within Reach.
It's really the Brandy Melville of couch stores, because it's just for one type of person. It's just one size, and its size is rich.
Brandy Melville.
Like, look, sure, if you like Design Within Reach, but I think more Americans really need to know the power of vintage. Mm-hmm. To find something that's been so well done that it will appreciate while it's in your house is a big fucking deal. The minute you drive away from
IKEA,
said store, you know, it's just fucking junk in the ocean. So I don't know. Just fucking think about it.
What's the cutoff age where you can no longer bring in a street couch that looks fine?
Oh, God.
Those couches are on the street. And I'm like, I cannot believe that was in someone's home 7 days ago.
25. I would say 25 to 28, depending on how you grew up.
Yeah.
But by 28, you definitely get your adult period. Mm-hmm. And yes.
If you have no money and you're under 25 and the couch is relative, like it should be like, oh shit, that I can't believe some of this. That's clearly a very bad breakup because this was quick. Then yes.
First of all, y'all are acting like you're too good for futons. Remember futons? Remember futon was our best friend now.
I have a futon.
Okay, but we're acting like we're too good for futons now.
It's a Danish futon, but still, you know what? When I moved to LA, for the 5 minutes I went there, because hello, traffic and anxiety, I found a bunch of furniture on Craigslist, and when I went to go pick them all up, it was from people that were breaking up and or getting divorced. And so if you want the good,
that's yes.
Get that divorce.
Find a relationship, or if you like your friend's furniture, see if you can get them to divorce. Make it
cool. Break them up. We did it. We solved the crime.
Ask if they want to be in an open relationship and then just leave the party.
But what if they get back together?
Yeah.
You guys have already written the movie and the sequel. Thank you so much, Moses, for being here. We always ask our guests, what is the most adult thing you want to do for yourself that you haven't done for yourself yet this year?
Mm-hmm. Tell them.
Oh, man. What's the most adult thing I want to do to me?
Grown-ass thing you want to do.
Oh, man. This is embarrassing. I want to find some sort of something to believe in that puts the things in order. Even if that is a good therapist or, you know, something very scientific. But, or even a self-help book, which I just can't get behind any of them. This guy. But yeah, I think that's the most adult thing I want to do. But putting a year cap on that seems so stressful. But yeah, that's what I would want in a perfect world, to find something to believe in.
Actually, I think I know, first of all, that's awesome. I think that's awesome and fantastic. And it's a journey, man. That's quite a journey.
Are you going to sing a song? Where are we going?
No, I just know exactly where he is. That's all. I figured it out.
Oh, okay. That's so sweet. I really felt that. My cold, cold, tired-ass heart, even through Zoom, felt that.
Listen, man, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it, dude. And once again, it was so amazing to work with you on Everything's Trash, dude. You're so funny, so talented. And working with you every scene we had together is just... It was so cool, man. It felt like just a great ping-pong back and forth. And you just raise the bar every time.
I love this. Can I ask, character? What was your character in Trash?
Do you want to say, or do you want me to say?
Yeah, you say.
Okay, Moses played a character named Michael, and Michael is Phoebe's roommate, and just kind of like at this point, Michael is just kind of like a magical character, and he's definitely
joke delivery,
shortstop. Amazing, extraordinaire, just like pinch hitter. Like he's just that guy in the clutch.
We don't know how old he is, what his job is, what his room looks like, what his parents are, but he's just playing support. You're just, yeah.
I pitched so many ideas for what you do and what you're about. They just dashed on the rocks. Hopefully.
I love it.
It's just like, okay, he makes NFTs. He's a dog walker. He's a fucking, you know,
right. Like, he flips shoes on, yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
Absolutely.
On a very hectic shoot. Thanks for being my big brother.
Oh.
Hey.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's very helpful on a lot of days that were very hard.
So,
yeah. Okay.
Congratulations, guys.
But nice talking to you.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was Moses Storm. I mean, I feel good about it.
That was wonderful. It was funny. It was thought-provoking. It was real. It was raw. It was delightful. It's everything I would ever want in a motherfucking episode of Adulting. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And like I said, no BS, no smoke. Just like, he was one of those people that was fantastic to work with. And mm-hmm. I think the wonderful part of comedy is like when we work with folks that you're just like, damn, that is a talent right there. And you don't know how much time or how many opportunities you'll have to be in the same room, same set, whatever with mm-hmm. people. But when you do, it's like, pinch yourself, take a moment, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a moment to enjoy how hard you've worked to be in this space.
Mm-hmm. And trust that you're in a winning team. They all feel the same way.
Yeah.
That was the best part of working with Moses, was like, you're like, this guy's got it. Line's cold. Improv's off to the side. Got a bucket of things to work from. He's got mm-hmm. it. He wants it as bad as you do, you know?
Yeah.
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 Beautiful stuff. Great guy, Moses Storm.
I thought you were going to be like, I feel the same way about you. I was like, aw.
Oh my God.
Every time, oh Jordan, how do you not know what I'm thinking? I'm just kidding. This has been really fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And you know what? At the end of the view, they say, take time to enjoy the view. I say, take time and go jerk off in the shower. All right.
Done.
Oh, yuck.
You're the one who said.
Bye.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Our senior producer is Natalie Rinn.
Senior managing producer is Hannah Kyle Crichton.
This episode was sound designed
and mixed by Ryo Baum.
Our guest booker is Patrick Kottner.
Our theme song is by DJ Don Will.
Photography by Gijs van der Most.
Artwork by Jamie Bechtel.
Executive produced by Karen Kilgariff, Georgia Harstark, and Danielle Kramer.
Follow the show on Instagram at AdultingThePod.
Email your questions to adultingquestions@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Adulting with Michelle Buteau and Jordan Carlos on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show and visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Adulting merch.